You're listening to Humanitarian Radio with your hosts, Tony St. Tone and Janie Beauclair.
Good afternoon and welcome to Humanitarian Radio. Yes, another beautiful sunny day in California. We have a lot of those. We're very fortunate here. Hopefully you guys are having a great afternoon as well. And if you are joining us for the first time, we welcome you to Humanitarian Radio. We are a station that likes to talk about great things going on in the world and great people that are surrounding us. And we play some music that has meaning to it and can help you get through the day. And we feature some great guests that have a lot of wonderful things going on to help their fellow man. And a lot of ways that you can participate in starting projects of your own and get involved in what's going on around your neck of the woods. So I am here with my host, Tony St. Tone. My name is Janie Beauclair. How are you today, Tony?
I'm doing great. It's a beautiful day out here in Southern California, like usual.
Isn't that nice?
It is nice.
Excellent. So we got a really cool star, actress, slash director, slash writer,
yeah,
at the age of 14 on our show today.
Yeah, and she's great. She has a lot of really cool things that she's going to talk about.
Yeah, and she's out there taking a stand, I got to say. So we're really happy to have her. Her name is Mandolin Carlson. And hang out and listen to what she has to say. In the meantime, I'm going to educate you, as I love to do. Did you know, what are the 5 healthiest cities in the United States?
Healthiest in what way?
Health-wise.
Well, I mean, do you mean like, I'm assuming like the thinnest or most active?
Whatever
or...
criteria comes under healthy, I would say.
Okay. I would say it have to be something that has a lot of sunshine. So I would say California would have to be one of them, Florida.
For the vitamin D aspect.
Well, and I think people are more active because there's more sunlight and there's more things to do. And they're more...
Interesting.
There are states that have a little more going on as far as like...
Yeah, transient states,
vacation states.
Yeah, and I would totally agree with that 1,000%. Only looking at the list, 4 of them are very cold states and 1 is a warm state, only the cold part of a warm state. So, number 1 on the list, healthiest city in America, Washington, D.C.
Really?
Is that because they're running around like little rats there, and so therefore they're, you know,
I wouldn't have ever thought that. No, I wouldn't have thought that.
Yeah, and then the second is St. Paul, Minnesota, which gets a ton of snow. So either you are like an avid skier, or you eat extremely healthy in those winter months.
Yeah, I can't see that either.
Yeah.
Who took the survey?
I don't know. I saw it on television.
Some guy named Joe.
It was on ABC News, actually.
Okay. Well, that's sort of credible.
Number 3 is Portland, Oregon. Another cold, rainy, not the nicest, beautifulest place.
Okay. So my theory is out the window, I guess.
Denver, Colorado.
Skiing, hiking. Okay, but see, some skiing, some hiking.
Yeah, some activities got to be going on there. Yeah. And then the last one is San Francisco, which, yes, is California. But it's a fairly cool part of California.
Yeah, but there's a lot of hills.
Yes,
so if you like to
walk for miles.
If you don't want to ride the trolley with the Rice-A-Roni,
San Francisco treat.
Yeah. Wow, has that
sing it for us, Tony.
Has that been embedded in our brains as
that's
children?
Good advertising. You hear that bell? Ding, 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 ding.
Yeah. Okay, what TV show does that come from?
Or
is that the end of a TV show?
It was a...
You would win turtle wax... And Rice-A-Roni, that San Francisco treat.
Let's Make a Deal?
Yeah, I think it was Let's Make
a
Deal.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. Or Price is Right.
One or the other. One or the other.
If you know, email us on our Humanitarian Radio Facebook page.
It was always
that's gonna bug
Turtle
me.
Wax and Rice-A-Roni. I'm like, what a great combination. They should just combine the two, and then you could
wax
your car with some Rice-A-Roni.
With a turtle.
Yeah. Okay, moving on.
So... Another thing I caught on the news today, which I am so happy that I was able to get 2 very smiley kind of stories off of the ABC News channel.
I know, and I always tell you to turn
that is shocking.
I always tell you to turn the news off.
I know, and I usually do.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you know, something was like, just listen to see what's going on. So what do I see? There's a guy that is doing what some are really mad at him for. They're calling it a scam. A guy has a Twitter address called @hiddencash. Right now, he has 234,000 followers.
Mm-hmm.
What he says is this is a social experiment. So he sets up a scavenger hunt. He puts a clue on Twitter, and he puts an envelope somewhere, and the clue is to lead you to the general area, and then you have to find the envelope. In the envelope so far has been either $100 or two $100 bills or the equivalent of $200. He started doing this in San Francisco and San Jose and has worked his way now down to Los Angeles.
Does that have any tie with them being healthy, running around trying to find this guy's money?
See?
Be onto something.
They've been looking for a while. That's why they're so thin.
Yes.
So anyway, last night they did it in Los Angeles, and he posted it sometime, where I guess around 6 or 7 o'clock, and they estimate there was over 1,000 people in this park looking for this envelope with $200 in it.
Really? Now,
a guy found it within 5 minutes after the tweet.
Now, is he present?
No. Well, who knows? Nobody knows who he is. He's anonymous.
He's anonymous.
He says he won He earned $500,000 in real estate recently, and he didn't feel like he had to work very hard to get it. So he wanted to share it.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So the news guys, a couple of them are really pissed off at this guy, going, you just did a couple $100 worth of damage to our park. Some things were broken and trampling on plants and things of that nature. You're going to cause us a liability by having somebody get hurt because one was on a fire hydrant, one envelope was on a fire hydrant by the street, 1,000 people. Somebody's going to get hit by a car. It's going to be a liability. You're going to cause the city a lawsuit. Every reason why they should be mad at this guy who's going, hey, I want to pay it forward.
And then you wonder why I don't watch the news.
Isn't that crazy?
They have to sensationalize it to say, well, someone did get pushed around when a gentleman was giving away his hard-earned cash.
It's something, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I mean, the fact that a guy's giving away his money, I think, is great. And I think the fact that he wants to just do it on Twitter, I think, is great.
I think it's
a cool idea.
Totally. And the people that were there that were looking for it, they were having a ball. Yeah. They're like, oh, this is a scavenger hunt where we actually have a shot at winning something cool.
Well, let's put it this way.
Something they could use instead of a hubcap.
You and I went to Nancy Cartwright's for Easter.
Right.
And they had an adult Easter egg hunt.
Right.
And she had a gold egg out there.
Yeah.
And if you found the gold egg, it had
$100
in it.
Yeah.
And you should have seen us.
Everybody was going nuts.
All of us, all the adults were just running around going like, I'll grab that $100. Where is it?
You know?
And someone found it, obviously. So, you know, it's fun to have adults act like kids.
Totally. Totally, totally.
I'm all for it.
I applaud the guy, and I say, if you got extra money, go stick it in an envelope, tweet it out there, and give it to somebody. What a great thing to do. I would imagine he probably is somewhere watching and probably feels amazing.
I got an idea.
The excitement of what he's creating.
I got an idea. What we'll do is we'll tap into it, and we'll tweet everyone, and the clues will be at our next show.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah. So 1,000 people will come into our show looking for the couple $100 and be like, hey.
I like it.
What's everyone doing here?
That's a built-in crowd. Oh, it's underneath the bass drum. You'll have to wait till the end of the show to get it.
Mm-hmm.
I like it.
Yep.
So let's talk about Janie Beauclair and Tony St. Tone are in the centerfold of what magazine?
Ah, yes.
What is it?
Oh, you're asking me that question?
Yeah. Lifestyle Magazine. Lifestyle Magazine did an article, and it says basically that the two of us are really doing some great stuff with the band, and they're appreciative of all of the things that we've done for charity, and basically we'll post this on our website and on our Facebook at saintandtone.com, saintone.com, and read the article. It's really cool. It's really nice to be appreciated for the humanitarian stuff that we do as a band and our performances in the prison system and a variety of different things. So, happy to say thank you to the Lifestyle Magazine of Studio City, California. We really appreciate you taking the time to notice us.
Yeah. I love to see actual physical print these days because you usually get articles written about you online.
Yeah.
But to see something physical and actually go, oh, wow, it's a tangible object in my hand.
It's nice. It's nice. And we've had quite a few others that are interested in writing stories about us suddenly because our Rise Up show is catching on. Tony, why don't you tell people what the Rise Up show is?
Rise Up show is evolving more and more as we continue. It used to be 15 songs, and now it's actually evolved into a two-hour show. And it's a bunch of songs that I've written that all have a positive theme to them of self-empowerment and motivation. And we get the audience involved. I got to tell you, like one of the newest songs that we're doing with the show is Cranky Pants.
Yeah.
And that is really getting a great response. I'm sort of shocked how well that song is doing.
It's kind of outside of your normal writing style
so
for the last 30 years.
Normal writing, but the fact that everybody's getting up and dancing and actually singing the song by the time you're done, it's pretty funny.
Yeah, and so. It's a very amusing song, and it's so right there in everybody knows somebody with cranky pants.
Yeah.
Totally. So that's a lot of fun. So congratulations on the new notoriety, if you will. I know you were in a few magazines last year, and looks like we are going to stay in the same pattern again this year.
Mm-hmm. Moving on up.
What? Oh.
To the east side.
I just met the man who wrote that song recently at a private party.
Oh, that's right. You were telling me that.
Yes. We performed at a private party last Saturday night with as the band Saint Tone, and five-piece, and we were out by the pool having a great time. The band was by the pool. It was an outdoor party. And a gentleman came in, and I was introduced to him. And what was said was this gentleman wrote a lot of different sitcom theme songs. And one young lady came up to me and asked me if she could sing a song, and she ended up singing Moving On Up for that guy, sang his theme song to him a cappella in his ear. Yeah,
that's
crazy.
That's a great song.
Yeah, and he wrote quite a few other ones too, like Good Times and a bunch of others like that.
You should tell everyone who you just met yesterday. Was it yesterday you just met
someone? It was, yes. I met Paul Simon.
I think that is the coolest thing.
That was very cool.
Here's Janie in Studio City. You know, Janie, she just happens to have these people, you know, magically appear like Lucky Charms. I think she keeps some Lucky Charms in her pocket.
Yes.
Anyway, she's
true, magically
going to visit a friend, and who's waiting outside? It's Paul Simon, and she just went up to him and just started talking to him and letting. Well, I'll let you tell the story, but I just thought it was so cool. It's like, how do you meet Paul Simon? Like,
you're really extremely lucky.
Yeah.
I saw him. He was talking to somebody else, and I said, just walked up by him because I was going into the building he was in front of, and I said, Paul? And he said, yes.
Paul, yes.
Yeah.
Mr. Simon, if you will, yes.
Yeah.
That's me.
That's exactly. And I said hi to him and
hello, darkness, my
spoke
old friend.
To him for a few minutes, told him of an experience that I had performing with one of his songs when I was 15. And he got a little kick out of that.
And which song was that?
Kodachrome.
Right there would have been a perfect tie-in. You know, Kodachrome. Can I get a selfie with you?
Yeah, I didn't do that. I thanked him for giving us all these great years of music. Excuse me. And he smiled, and then I went inside. It was cool.
That
cool
was
moment.
It. Yeah. You should have got him on the radio show.
It's true.
You know?
I don't like being a groupie to the stars. You know what I mean?
No, I totally agree.
It's one thing
I've learned and you've learned. And
if I'm going to talk to him, it's just going to be like a one-on-one on the appreciative level and sorry, got to go.
Very casual, very.
Yes, yeah, and they appreciate that too. Then they don't feel like you're a stalker.
Yes.
So speaking of stalking.
Yes.
Good segue there.
Yes, thank you.
You know, I always tell you about fundraisers that are going on.
Mm-hmm.
Things that are happening.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I was looking up the Spring into Summer fundraising. What's going on in the world of fundraising? You know, like at Christmas, they're selling wrapping paper and Christmas cards and all that kind of thing, right?
Yes.
Do you know what they sell in the springtime?
Flowers.
Soft big pretzels.
And flowers.
Popcorn and gummy bears. Cotton candy. Lollipops. And cookies with candy in them. Those are the top fundraisers from spring into summer.
You're kidding me.
No. You could buy a case.
I bet the dentists love that.
A case of lollipops for $144. You'll make $288 on them.
What are you selling them for?
Well, twice what you're paying for them.
That's good math. She's so quick, people.
The gummy bears, all that same kind of thing. So you make an average of between 40 and 75% profit when you sell these types of food. So you can do it as little as one case, as in you could get a case of 40 packs of gummy bears and sell them around your neighborhood and raise, say, $150 and donate it to somebody or buy some food for your shelter or do something like that.
That's really
cool.
Have
the kids do that with you. What a fun little project that is, and it shows them, you know, how to help others and be a good humanitarian.
Yeah. I just can't believe how much candy and cookies and popcorn and all
junk.
Things. Yeah, stuff that people are. But you know what? That's the quick sell. You
it's
show
true.
Up with gummy bears or a candy bar, and you're like, yeah, I'll take it.
Yep, yep.
$3, I'll take it.
Outside spinners are a summer thing that's coming on, too, where you're selling outside little spinners like
little airplane things.
Yeah, things that spin out in your patio.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Like chimes kind of thing. Spinner fundraisers. Then pizza card fundraisers is the summertime into fall. Domino's Pizza has a huge pizza card fundraiser. You buy X amount of punches on the card, basically, and then you end up getting some free ones.
That's interesting.
And chew candies, as in taffies, as your chewable candy, as your like sucker candy and things to suck on.
Mm-hmm.
Chewing candy is the number one in that category, like taffy.
Again, I think the dentists of the world, thank you for bringing these delicious treats to all the children and adults.
Yeah, and so the people who end up being the beneficiary of that whole project. So, speaking of fundraisers, raising money and helping people, we had a really cool reach out from St. Jude's Hospital in Orlando, Florida this week. And they've asked us if we would help announce their fundraiser. And I said, let's do one better than that. Let's have you guys on the air and talk about what's going on. So St. Jude's Hospital is fundraising time, and I happened to see on the news yesterday, by chance, a six-year-old little girl came up with the idea in Southern California of collecting coloring crayons and coloring books. And she had her mom buy her some very large Ziploc baggies, and she started collecting a coloring book and a pack of crayons from school, from neighbors, from family, from whoever. Her goal was to have 1,000 bags to give out at the St. Jude Hospital during this fundraiser. So they interviewed the mom, and the mom says, wow, I was so surprised my six-year-old came up with this idea. It shocked us all that she wanted to be a fundraising girl, and we didn't even know she was aware of St. Jude's Hospital.
That's awesome.
So isn't that really cool? So this little girl made her goal of 1,000 coloring books and crayons, and they were honoring her on television, saying, way to go, good for you, we're going to be there when you give them out, and awesome. So,
had she spent any time in the hospital? Or
no, nothing.
So what made her come? They don't even know. What
they don't. The parents don't even know. The little girl just said, I just wanted to help St. Jude's Hospital, and she repeated that 5 or 6 times, and that's what she was into, and that was that.
Wow. I think that's
so
awesome.
So I think it's really cool that the same week that we get a call from St. Jude's Hospital, I actually see somebody participating as a six-year-old to raise stuff for the kids in the hospital. How awesome is that?
So
if
there you
that
go, people.
Sweet little girl
that
could do it.
That little girl who's 6 years old had raised the bar.
1,000 coloring books and 1,000 packs of crayons.
Yeah.
If a six-year-old can do that, really, people?
We can do it, too.
I would say so. So
I'm going to raise 1,001.
Coloring books?
And crayons.
I like it.
Yeah.
All righty.
All you have to do to beat her is get one more.
It's true. It's true. And it better be a nice one.
Yeah.
So we're going to take a quick break and hear from our sponsors. We'll be right back with Miss Mandolin Carlson.
I'm living here in a state of abundance. I'm counting blessings that I never saw before. It's not the ruler of this kingdom I call.
Positive affirmations wrapped in pop rock songs.
Give me that S-E-E. motivational musician, Saint Tone. Check out his latest live show, The Rise Up Experience, at www.sainttone.com. Mama said we can always work it out. Pick up his latest CD, Outside the Box, available on iTunes. We choose to for music with a positive message, check out sainttone.com.
Hey, this is Janie from Artistic Journey. Start off your new year with a new marketing strategy. Whether it's for your company or your personal goals push, let Artistic Journey help you find the unique way to show off your endeavor. With over 20 years of marketing experience in big corporations and homegrown businesses and everything in between, Artistic Journey can help you pave a new product path or an event marketing path. Check out ArtisticJourney.com. See the wide array of marketing merchandise available for you to put your logo on for your next big event, your personal party, or your big corporation marketing push. Get into the swing of 2014 and get your business in motion with an artistic promotion. So I am so happy to introduce to our show today Miss Mandolyn Carlson, actress extraordinaire. How are you, darling? Welcome to the show.
Hi. Thank you so much for having me on.
Well, I was just bragging to our listeners about you and that you've got so much going on at such a young age, and we wanted to expose them to you and let them hear all these great things you're doing. I know that you have a couple movies coming out, and you've got some Christmas shows coming out. You have done a pile of stuff when you look at your IMDb. So the first thing I want to do is tell people how old you are and what you are currently doing, and then we'll go into some of these shows that you've got going on.
I am 14 years old, and I'm an actress currently, yeah.
You've got a movie coming out called A Horse for Summer.
Yes. That one is coming out this June, I think the end of June.
And who's in that movie with you?
That is Dean Cain, Nicole Chris, and Terry Minton.
Excellent. Did you have a great time working with those guys on this movie?
Oh, my gosh. I absolutely loved the movie. It's probably one of my favorite projects that I have ever worked on.
Wow.
Yeah, it's just absolutely wonderful. I watched the trailer on, like, a weekly basis. It's just, it's amazing, and it's getting out the messages that I want to get out, the type of movies that I want to do.
And what type of message is that? So, because I noticed there is a running theme, but I want you to tell the listeners, you know, what makes you choose the movies that you do, and what are the messages that you're so excited about to get out there?
Well, I definitely love working, but this is one of my favorite things. It's a faith-based film, which I really love. I'm a Christian, and I absolutely love getting the message out there.
Excellent.
It's also, like, the family sits down and prays together multiple times throughout the movie, and it's also one of the movies that teaches people lessons, and it leaves you feeling happy,
nice.
And that's what I like.
Right, so it's a feel-good movie instead of these Transformers are all action-packed. It's more of a, you're going to get something out of this when you leave the movie theater. It's not just strictly entertainment. It's entertainment with a message.
Exactly. Like, you're going to laugh and you're going to cry, but you're going to leave there hopefully a better person, hopefully loving the movie.
You got to love that. I really have a lot of respect for you at age 14 to recognize the value in spreading the word that you believe in and that you know that people can get benefit from. And I think it takes strength to be part of movies and things like this, because some people on the outside world don't understand messages and religion causes problems and this and that. And Tony and I believe that it doesn't matter what religion you are in, we are all humans together. And let's all do great things and participate in great things for one another. And you're definitely setting an example of that.
Oh, yeah. I really like it. I mean, like, it is a faith-based film, but it also has other morals. I mean, like, the girl in the film, makes a wrong choice, and then, you know, she's forgiven, and she learns the better choice through friendship and family, and it's just, I really like it.
And then, go ahead, Tony.
I was going to say, that's awesome. Real quick, I just wanted to ask you, you're 14, when did you start acting, and when did you decide that you wanted to be an actress? Is it something that you already knew when you were very little? I mean,
when I was, like, 2, my grandmother started doing, like, these just plays with the family, just to, like, entertain our family, because we have a large family. And then I got into drama. And when I was 10, I realized that I want to do this as a career. This is, like, something that I'm serious about.
Mm-hmm.
Because before, I didn't realize, like, I love to do it, but I didn't realize that I could actually make a career out of it and have this as a job.
Right, right.
So when I was 10, I just kept pestering and pestering and pestering my mother. And then I think when I was 11, we moved out to California, and just everything has just happened since then.
And now it takes a lot of work to get into something in this industry, doesn't it?
Yeah, it definitely does.
And you also have to have you have to have a bit of a tough skin too.
Yeah, the rejection's a little bit harsh. When I first came out, it was kind of hard to do it. I'm lucky that I have such a great support team, like my family.
Yeah, a support system is really, you know, 99% of the success level.
And also, you know, the fact that you knew at such a young age what you wanted to do, and let's face it, your average kid doesn't really know what they want to do. They want to play baseball today, and then tomorrow they want
to be an astronaut.
Be an astronaut, exactly. So the fact that you knew what you wanted to do and you were persistent enough to say, no, Mom, I really want to do this and I really think I can, and to take that step to come out to California. Where are you originally from?
I'm from Michigan.
Michigan. Excellent. So,
yeah.
So it's, again,
that's a big leap of faith right there.
A huge leap of faith. And more. So many people come from around the world and around the country just to come to Hollywood to get a career started. And you've been fortunate enough to have been in a number of movies. How many movies have you been in so far?
Oh, my gosh. I have absolutely no idea. I could probably count right now. I feel like I'd leave something out. Let's go. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, I
want to
say 8, maybe.
I saw on your IMDb that it lists you, it gives you 17 credits because you've done all kinds of things besides movies also.
So about 8 movies and about 17 appearances then.
Yeah, yeah.
A number of things. That is phenomenal because anyone trying to do something in Hollywood knows that 99% of it is rejection. 99% of it is the answer, no, you didn't get it. And to have that 1% be such a high number as 8 movies and 17 other credits is really amazing. So I applaud you for that.
Your persistence is obviously paying off.
And your talent.
And the fact that you know, you're a faith-driven person, which obviously helps in your support team, you know, helps with your support system, both mentally and with your family being behind you. I think that's just excellent. So you have a couple of shows coming out at Christmas time, too, I saw.
Yes. One is called A Christmas Promise, and that was with Chris Carpenter, Patrick Muldoon, and Dominique Swain.
Nice.
And then I have another one that is Holiday Miracle, and that is Dean Cain. I think that's my third movie with Dean Cain.
I was going to say that. There seems to be a pattern there.
It definitely does.
Do you guys like working together?
Oh, yeah. That was the first movie that I had ever done with him, and I had met him, and I was like, oh, wow, you're like a really cool guy. I'm probably never going to see you again. And then I went on to do A Horse for Summer, and I was like, oh, you're back. You're an even cooler guy than I originally thought.
Right, right.
And now we're doing... And then I just finished another movie called Deadly Sanctuary that I did with him. And it's just becoming a pattern. And so hopefully there's a fourth.
Now, he's basically been watching you grow. So what do you think that you've learned things through each of these movies as these times progress that you work with him again and again? Do you feel like His influence has taught you different things to help your skill for your next movies?
I definitely think so. I mean, half of the battle is getting on set. Once you're on set, I learn so much just from watching, not even doing. So, like, if I'm not in a scene with him, I'll still watch it.
Yeah.
Because he's such an amazing actor, and obviously he's had, like, such longevity. And I'm just trying to, like, figure out his secrets and how he is made it so far and so long.
Sure.
I think that's great that you're actually doing what you just said is
shadowing him, basically.
Shadowing him, because I think what happens with a lot of other actors, and especially child actors, it's like, look, if I'm not on set, I'm going to be in my trailer, I'm going to be off somewhere. But you're actually studying other actors and watching them get prepared, and how do they get ready for the scene, and
honing your craft.
Scene. That's what I think is great, what you're doing, because it actually helps you hone your craft, get that much better, and be a sponge on the set.
Which allows you to deliver, you know, when you're in a movie. It gives you the ammunition to deliver great performances and get your messages out there.
Yeah, and I don't only do it with actors. I just finished the movie Deadly Sanctuary, and I only had, like, a smaller role in the movie. But the director, I had worked with her before, and she was like, you can shadow if you would like.
Excellent.
And so I came on set, and I watched her, and I watched the producer, and I watched the script supervisor, and the actors, and the ADs, and I watched the crew, and just to see how it all went together. Because even as an actor, I mean, sometimes there will be something that happens, and they won't tell you as the actor, because it's not your job to worry about it.
Right.
But stepping back and watching it from the crew perspective and just watching how it all comes together and what an actor needs to do to make sure that everything runs smoothly was just, it was absolutely eye-opening. And so now I go into projects and I'm like, wow, this is what I need to be doing to make it easier on everybody.
And the other side of that is you're learning this. You are actually a screenplay writer yourself. You wrote your first one at 10 years old. I believe the name was The Secret Recipe. I can see how you would be so interested in how to make your screenplay come to life, because obviously at 14 years old, you have this inside of you, and I am sure by the time you're 20, we're going to be seeing your movie that you wrote, that you're starring in, that you're directing, and you're producing on the big screens, because you're developing that talent already at this age.
That is definitely the dream.
Yeah, I can see that.
I can see that, too. I was going to say, the fact that you're shadowing and paying so much attention,
so much detail,
is so smart of you, because as you know how the whole thing comes together, you're just a small part of it, but your part is going to work off of everyone else's parts. So knowing what they need from you, like if the lighting is wrong or if the boom guy can't get a good angle on your mic, now you understand what they need to do in preparation to have you look and be your best. And also, as a screen, is there any goal or thought to be a producer or to direct a film later in life?
There definitely is. And that's the reason why the director, Nancy Criss, had me come on, is I was talking with her on the set of A Horse for Summer, and I was like, you know, I want to do what you're doing. I want to be able to direct and produce my own stuff, much like Mark Wahlberg.
Right.
And she was like, well, I would love to have you come on for Deadly Sanctuary. And I was just like, that would be the absolutely wonderful thing, because she's been doing so much. I mean, she has so much going for her, and she's doing so many projects right now, and she's absolutely wonderful. And it was the experience of a lifetime.
Yeah, it's absolutely a privilege when directors and producers let people shadow. Tony and I have been able to shadow on some films in the last year, and it's been an eye-opener and a lot of fun for us. We perform in films as a band. We have a five-piece band, and we perform in films, and so it's easy. It's great for us to have to know what goes on as well. The same as you're studying them, we've been doing the same thing so that we know when they have our band perform in a band scene, what do they need from us? What's the end result supposed to look like so that we can assist them in making the best possible movie with our scene in it?
And real quick, talking about a band, you had mentioned before we started the interview that you travel with a band. Tell us a little bit about that.
I do. The tour is called it's Music is My Language Tour, and it's a band called This Boy, That Girl, and their brother, Matt King. And they tour these schools around California And I go with them, and they, like, perform their songs and everything, and they're, like, anti-bullying songs, and they're really, like, good songs, and one of my favorites of their songs is Music is My Language. And it's basically just, like, music is our universal language. There doesn't need to be all this fighting and the pain and everything. And then I do, like, a presentation where I explain what bullying is, what the different types of bullying is, if, what you should do if you're being bullied, if you're watching bullying happening. And it's just, it's a really good message, because we've had people come up to us afterwards and be like, I didn't realize that that was bullying, or I didn't realize that's what I was supposed to do. Thank you so much. And that's ultimately why we're doing it.
Creating awareness.
That is awesome. I'm so excited that you actually do things like that. And as you know, like Janie said, that we do similar types of music. But the fact that there's younger people out there that are using music to put out a positive message, to me, is awesome, because there is so much music out there that doesn't do that. And to harness in the power of music and to deliver a message, and the fact that you're going into the school systems is awesome. How long have you guys been doing that? How long have you been part of that?
They have been doing it for, I want to say, like, a year and a half. I've only been doing it for maybe, I want to say 8-ish months, maybe a little less than that. I've had to take breaks because I was all over the country. It's a wonderful thing. Like, when they asked me, I was like, of course, I would love to do that.
Yeah, you didn't even have to think twice about it.
Have you ever been a victim of bullying, or have you ever been involved in bullying around you? Or
I was bullied for 3 years back in Michigan before I came out to California. And I think that's why I'm such a strong advocate for bullying. I did a bullying short called The Dead Kid, and it was another thing where, like, it addressed what you should do as a bystander, because I know that when I was bullied, a lot of people watched it, including the teachers, and they didn't do anything about it. Like, there was nothing done. And so what I'm trying to do is help people. If you see it, you need to stop it.
Right, because right.
It will go on, and I know that personally. And it got to the point where I was pulled out of school to be homeschooled. Because I was getting distracted. I couldn't learn at school, and so I was homeschooled.
Yeah, you know, that's interesting, you know, that you actually have such a strong connection to it, because I think that sells your point even more, or gets your point across even more, because you're telling it firsthand as far as what you've experienced. And again, I think a lot of times people don't know what to do. They see it and they go, well, geez, I don't know, should I say something, because then the bully's going to start bullying me too. It's like, this isn't your business, I'm bullying her. And then next thing you know, there's a fear factor. But if enough people stand up to a bully, then they go, oh, I guess no one's going to take this anymore. It's like, yeah, we're not going to allow you just to continue doing this. And the fact that the teacher probably didn't know what to do, because I don't know, they didn't know if they had the right to say something, or they didn't realize that that was bullying. So I applaud you again on that.
Something I noticed, too, we've had three different people on this show who are bullying advocates, advocates of not bullying, I should say. but it's interesting, because they are all three in the acting and music profession. And one is a young Disney actress named Cassidy Mack, another young lady named Shania Fostier, who is very similar to you, that has written screenplays and things of that nature
and
at the age of
books.
10 and several
she's written
books.
Books on bullying and tours the country, similar to what your friends do.
And then another young man that runs a radio show called Love All Humans, and he was a singing sensation as a young boy, but all three of those guys explain how they were bullied in school for having a talent. Because they were successful artists at young age, they had a tough time having friends, and they were bullied quite extensively. Wondering if that was the direction of the bullying that you experienced. Was it because people were seeing what you were doing, and there was a jealousy issue there?
I want to say before I forget, I do know Cassidy Mack. I just saw her a couple of days ago.
Awesome.
I'm friends with her. But I think it is. It's definitely, when you hear entertainment people talk about their lives and they were bullied, it's bullying because they were different, because
right.
they were smart, because they took a stand and they didn't, like, blend in with the rest of the crowd.
Yep.
I would miss days of school because I was filming, and that's, like, when it started.
Right.
I think it was jealousy. Like, I realize now that it was probably in spite or stuff like that because I was not your normal cookie-cutter child.
Right, right. Tony and I are very familiar with that because neither one of us were cookie-cutter children either.
We're still not cookie-cutter adults, so.
Yeah.
And so we get it.
That's normally what happens when you don't fit in to the norm. People go like, well, we don't know what to do with you, and you just don't sort of fit. And that's okay because you need people like us that don't fit to show different sides of life, you know, and to show different sides of careers or things out there. Because if everyone was the same, you're like, okay, this is boring. You know, this is like, who's going to be different? And the different person is outcast as the weirdo or strange, not the norm.
And that's, I think, how kids figure out how to deal with people like us that are A personalities, that are always, you know, into something, doing something, moving forward. And it's a shame that the choice model has been, oh, well, as a young kid, we'll bully that young kid that's there with us because we don't know how to react to them. And I think it's great that there's a lot of young teens like you guys that are doing anti-bullying campaigns to make kids aware that, yeah, you might have learned this from your older brother, but it's not cool. You know, it's not the way you have to go about it.
Yeah, and it's difficult to watch it because everybody was born unique. We should all stay that way.
Exactly.
Instead of conforming to this society's idea of the perfect child, when in reality, it's not how a lot of people are, and it makes a lot of people bullied or depressed because they cannot show their true colors.
Right, right.
It's just...
I was going to say, let's face it, everyone wants to fit in, and everyone wants to be part of the group because that's what you want to do. You want to be part of the tribe. You want to fit in. But yet, you can fit in on certain levels, but on other levels, you need that uniqueness, and you need to celebrate that. You need to be who you really are and allow that to flourish because as you start to look out there outside of your tribe, there could be another tribe or another group of people that you actually relate to more. So if you're an actress, you relate more to the drama class where it's like the athletes or the jocks that are in the school don't relate to that. So that's not part of who they are. So you start to find your own clique as you express who you are and what you do.
And, you know, there's so many of you guys making a stand, Mandolin, but I don't know if you noticed recently the city of Carson, California, just tried to pass a referendum making parents responsible when their children are caught bullying or doing bullying actions. Now, it didn't happen to pass for technical reasons, and they're rewriting it, so it will pass. But the point is that there's enough of you guys making a stand that cities are taking notice and going, you know, that's not going to be legal anymore. And if this kid is caught bullying that kid, then the parents are going to be held responsible and accountable. And I think that's a great move towards getting parents to get involved in what your kids are doing and not allow the actions of bullying. I think it's a real eye-opener. And that this kind of thing wouldn't be happening if it wasn't for people like you, Mandolin, stepping out and doing these types of things.
That's definitely the reason why I'm doing it. I mean, like, I got into this business because it's something that I love. And then once I was in it, I realized that's exactly what I want to do. I want people to... I want to help the world be better. And
excellent.
I want people to realize what they're doing is not what they should be doing.
Yeah, there's some actions to those. You know, there's consequences that go with those actions.
Yeah, exactly.
I think you're doing a great job. And when you pick your films, again, because we had said that a lot of your films are faith-based, do you shy away from any other projects, or is it just that those are the ones that
are attractive to you?
You're attracted to and say, hey, you know what, I really want to do this. I'm just curious if you've ever turned down a film because you don't
appreciate the content, yeah.
With the content.
I'm definitely more attracted to the cleaner, nicer, happier, faith-based films. There are some times where I won't even audition for something if it's, like, really bad. Like, I really feel strongly against it.
Yeah.
Just because, like, it's not
Not the right vibe.
Yeah, like, I want to compromise my morals. So I find that I'm in more faith-based things now. Like, it's coming to me. I have a TV series that's airing on Fox Affiliates that's a faith-based TV series this fall called The Sparrows, and that just, it came about. Like, I didn't audition for it. I'd worked with the director before, and I'm finding more Christian people. I'm finding more faith-based films. I mean, Sony just opened up a new division for faith-based films, and I'm really hoping that it's going to help make the world better and not, I don't want to say garbage, but all the garbage that's playing in theaters.
Right, right.
Well, and you know, again, what you're doing is you're bringing a different style and a style that we can really use more to the mainstream, where it's like, listen, we could all use a little more faith, and we can all use a little more good news and positive role models out there. So what you're doing and what your choices are really helping a lot of other people. So as these movies do come out, again, they're movies with a message, just like the songs are songs with a message, music with a message. And I think that's great.
It's something I really like. And it's not like pushing the faith down your throat. It's kind of just like, this is the way that these people live. This is how their life is. And it's also showing other different messages. Like on the TV series, each week or something will be a different message that the kids will learn or the family will learn and stuff like that. It's not, I hear a lot of people and they're like, oh, I don't like to listen to faith music, or I don't listen to any like Christian stuff because they're pushing it down your throat. And I'm just like, well, do you actually listen to it?
Yeah.
Because it's not.
It's a stigma, I think, that's been attached, because back in the day of Billy Graham and all the older gentlemen, like generations back, all the music and the shows that were out there were very strongly pushing religion and
or they were pushing one side,
so,
as opposed to saying, here, generally just be good.
So as a result of that, a lot of families turned away from it, and therefore their children were not raised in the atmosphere of, this is a good thing. They were more like, oh, this is troublesome. So
for the TV series, we're trying to make it, it's kind of like a spinoff of Seventh Heaven almost. And we got a lot of people from the cast of Seventh Heaven. And it's just, that was something that I grew up watching. My parents loved to watch that. And it wasn't pushing it, but it helped you deal with things. You knew what to do, what not to do, and it had a message that was good.
Yeah, that is awesome. So where do you see yourself 10 years from now? You're 14. When you're 24, which is still very young in this day and age as far as making movies and stuff, where do you see yourself? Do you see yourself directing, writing, acting, all the above?
Having an Oscar.
Yay!
Yeah. All right. I got it.
Excellent.
That is my ultimate goal. If I reach that, that is just my thing. Like, well, that's where I hit that. All right, this is awesome. If I die tomorrow, I am so happy.
Well, let's start with changing that to when I get that Oscar instead of if I get that Oscar.
Exactly, yeah.
Put that positive spin on it, girlfriend.
All right, so you have an Oscar. Now what? Do you
retire?
Do you get a second Oscar, or do you go into directing? Do you go into making films?
I'd like to do it where Mark Wahlberg does it, how he acts, directs, and produces. He doesn't act in anything that he doesn't produce, you know, just, like, do stuff like that. Once I have the Oscar, I've had plans for my Oscar dress since I was, I don't know, like, 8 or something.
Excellent.
But I want to win the Oscar because I want it to... I want to be able to share my faith with other people and get it out to other people. But back in 2010 or whatever, there was a quarterback who put John 3:16 under his eyes at the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I remember that.
And Yeah, when I saw that, he got 90 million Google hits for John 3:16. And once I saw that, I was like, all right, I'm going to win an Oscar, and my dress is going to say John 3:16.
That's a pretty cool thought.
And
I think that's pretty cool.
Like, that has been the ultimate goal. I want more Google hits on John 3:16 than he had.
So get a campaign going out there where
exactly.
we drive people to come up with, you should have them like post pictures of what your John 3:16 dress should look like.
Oh, yes. That'd be wonderful.
Wouldn't that be fun? That'd be a way to get a little stir going, a little buzz, and some viral video action.
Oh, yeah.
So now the rest of the year, you've got a couple movies coming out, A Horse for Summer, and you've got the show coming out, The Sparrows on Fox. And then you have A Christmas Promise, and you have Holiday Miracle.
Yes.
You got quite a few things going on this year. Do you have stuff you're working on that's going to come out next year as well?
Yes, Deadly Sanctuary is going to come out in 2015, and that was a movie that was based off of a local book that
right.
the author Sylvia Nobel wrote, and that's going to be coming out in 2015. The show should be carrying on until 2015, and hopefully some more stuff.
Yeah.
I just recently, actually, like, I think 2 hours ago maybe, I did my last radio show for, like, we're taking a three-month hiatus, and then that should be starting back up in September, and then that's just going to continue into 2015, too.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, listen, we want to keep our eye on you, and we'd love for you to come back to the show from time to time and let us know when things are coming up so we can get our listeners to follow you and support you in both your anti-bullying campaigns and in all the movies and television shows and things that you've got coming on in the future. So will you come back and talk to us again?
I would love to, yes.
Excellent. Darlin', we look forward to supporting you, and we've got some great listeners that jump on board behind the people that we feature on this show. So tell people where they can follow you, where they can find you, and where they can keep their eye on what you've got coming on.
Okay. My Facebook is just Mandolin Carlson. I have a page and an actual thing, and if you friend me, I'll like accept it. I have a Twitter, which is @SoIAm. And then my Instagram is just Mandolin Carlson. And that's pretty much my social media.
And great.
you can find that all on my Facebook too.
Excellent.
Well, thank you again very much, and we look forward to talking to you again real soon.
Yeah, it's been an absolute pleasure having you on our show, and absolutely keep in touch with us. All right, darling?
Yes, of course. Thank you so much.
Thank you, hon. What a pleasure to have someone so young and so extremely talented and a sensible head on her shoulders. Every week we dedicate a song to our artist, and this week we want to dedicate the song Faith by Saint Tone. So, Tony, you wrote this song about an actual experience that you had. Want to tell us about it?
Yeah, I'll give you the quick Reader's Digest version of it. I had bought my very first house on a Friday, and I got laid off on a Monday.
Good
the
golly.
Very, so over the weekend, you're making the very biggest purchase of my life at that point, and getting laid off on a Monday really
sent you for a spin, I'm sure.
Yeah, a very big spin. And I was out of work for about a month, and what I ended up doing is I ended up writing this song.
There you go. See, so you needed that little break in work so yeah. you could get this song written.
Yeah, so this song was written, but it just came down that I needed some faith that something else was going to happen. And just to let you know,
mm-hmm.
and the listeners know, something else did come. A better job came with more money, and from that job, I actually moved on to working for myself.
Excellent.
So it
Excellent.
Was a really great transition for me.
There you go. Have faith and move on. Gotta
mm-hmm.
love it. This is Faith.
Disappointment scar, but we're still here to tell the tales.
that was Faith by Saint Tone. You can find that track at www.sainttone.com. That's SAINTTONE.
So that is our show for today. Hope you had a great afternoon. Don't forget to check out our guest, Miss Mandolyn Carlson. And also, check out St. Jude's Hospital and what they're doing. It's fundraising time for them. They can certainly use our help. If you are looking for something to contribute to, consider St. Jude's Hospital and help the life of a child. If you or someone you know is doing something amazing in your community, or you know an event that's going on that should be focused on, reach out to us on humanitarianradio.com or Humanitarian Radio Facebook and tell us your story. We'd be delighted to share you on the air. Signing out, guys. Have a great day.
Humanitarian Radio, shouting out some good news for your soul.